The title of this message today is When We Forget God. The passage today is John 14, verses 25 to 29. Let me start this message with a question for you. If you have a serious medical condition like dementia or amnesia, and you're losing memories, and you keep forgetting things, let's say, if you're only able to keep one memory in your life, out of all the memories, if you're only able to keep one, then which one would you keep? I mean, you must have a lot of precious memories, your memories of your family, your memories of childhood, and maybe the memory when you're walking into the aisle at the marriage ceremony, maybe the moment that when your child was born, Maybe the moment and the memory of you achieving a great success. Maybe countless memories of spending time with your friends, maybe. Which one would you keep? If you're only able to keep one memory in your life and you'll forget everything else, then which one would you keep? I mean, what is this one memory that matters the most in the end? What is this one memory that will keep your identity, who you are, even when you forget about everything else? What is this one memory that will justify you for losing every other memories? Which memory will bring you the ultimate comfort and encouragement to face your day? We all know the answer. It is the memory of God. In our lives, it is the memory of how God has been leading our lives. It is the memory of us tasting and seeing the goodness of God in our lives. It is the memory of those testimonies, the memory of God answering my prayer, God walking with me in my life. Those memories will be the memories that we will not be able to change with anything. That's one memory that we want to keep. However, in our lives, it is so easy to take our relationship with God so lightly, and it is so easy to forget about who He is when we think that this memory with Him, memory of God, is the most important thing. I cannot change with anything. Even when we confess this, the reality that we face in our lives as a Christian is that we forget about God. We forget about His goodness. We forget about His love, His promises. And we go through these times of doubts or worries or fears. And that is the reality. Sometimes we go through the times of continual depression or continual difficulties or even continual sin. And those things are making us forget about God. When we confess and we say, and when we believe that our memory with Him is everything. In this message, we want to explore three reasons why we forget God in our lives, followed by three remedies about how we can remember Him in our lives. You're back in John 14 when the disciples were just told by Jesus that He's going to leave them. And we talked about in the last three sermons by the topics of hope and assurance and presence, that how Jesus in this chapter is giving the disciples these promises of hope, the hope of the heaven, and also the assurance that He is the way and truth and the life. And He's also promising the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is the ultimate promise. Why? Because it is the promise of giving Himself to the disciples more than anything, more than money, more than any possessions, more than any skills, more than any resources that Jesus can give. Jesus giving Himself to them. And that's the promise of His presence. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit that we saw last times. The title of the Holy Spirit here, if you look at our passage today in verse 26, the title of the Holy Spirit here is the Helper. The Helper. Jesus said, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Followed by the title of the Holy Spirit, here's a description of how he will help them by teaching them all things and make them remember all things that Jesus has said to them. The first striking point here is that he will teach us all things. All things. It means that any true knowledge about God and who he is can only be obtained by the Holy Spirit. It means that there is no way to understand the truth of God without the intervention and illumination of the Holy Spirit. It means that we are supposed to completely rely on the Holy Spirit for reading and knowing, understanding, or realizing and believing in the truth of God. It explains to us about this ultimate and complete need for reliance on the Holy Spirit as Christian in all things that we know or we do. Simply without the Holy Spirit, there's nothing we can do, nothing we can understand, nothing we can learn. Not only that, the next striking point is the Holy Spirit will also bring to our remembrance whenever we forget about God. And this is a promise that ultimate care and love that the Father has for us. Why? Because whenever we forget about him, it is a promise that he's going to come and remind us of his love, his truth and grace, and his promises. It is a promise that he will keep us and protect us to the end. The reason why we forget God in our lives is exactly because of this, that we do not rely on the Holy Spirit. When we do not rely on the Holy Spirit, when we rely on ourselves, that's when we forget about God in our lives. Let's take Pharisees as an example. Did they forget God in their lives? Well, their whole lives were devoted to study the Word of God. Their whole lives were committed to follow the laws of God. Their whole lives were poured out to teach God's law to the people of God. So did they forget God intellectually by their head knowledge? They did not forget God. What are you talking about? They were teaching about God to his people every single day. That was their whole lives. How can they forget God? But the Bible says, yet their hearts were far from God. Meaning, they thought they knew what they knew. They thought they knew about God and knew him, remembered him in every day. But the truth was that they did not even taste the true knowledge of God. They were in fact in a worse place than forgetting God. They did not even know God when they were teachers of God's word. Even when they were teaching God's law, they were forgetting God. What does he say to us? Well, he tells us a reality that it is possible for us to completely forget about God even when we are serving God. Even when we are reading his word, constantly praying, or even sharing his word with others. If you're not doing those by relying on the Holy Spirit, we are indeed forgetting about God in our lives. It is a scary reality, right? Yet it is very true. Even as a preacher, even as a pastor, I might be able to preach some passage very well according to all the theological logics. But if the message is not coming out of my relationship with God in a genuine way, I'm basically forgetting God in my preaching. So what does it mean by relying on the Holy Spirit in our daily lives? Let's take reading the Bible as an example. So, reading the Bible by relying on the Holy Spirit means we are reading the Bible not only theologically, but spiritually. Well, what does it mean by that? Like I shared in Psalms 1 sermon last time, you know, just like how we need to see the Bible as a window or even a door. And you know, the purpose of the window and the door is not just looking at the window, just looking at the door. Now we see something else through the window, and we're meeting with someone, or a different dimension is opening up to us through opening, through the door. So if we see Bible in that way, we know the purpose of the reading the Bible, reading God's word, is not really looking at the word and just study it, but it is to see the beauty of God in this passage. It is to communicate with God through this passage. It is to listen to His voice. It is to encounter the God of the universe through this word of His. So the real question we have to ask whenever we read the Bible is not about what did you learn about God simply, but it is what did you hear from Him? Did you enter in? Did you see the beauty of God in this passage that made you fall in love with Him? This is what happened to me my first year of my Bible college. So before going to Bible college, I was doing devos every day, reading the Bible every day. And the way that I read the Bible before going to Bible college, you know, I didn't really have a lot of theological education. So I would just read, and I would just ask the Holy Spirit. I would just ask God that, oh, Holy Spirit, just speak to me. Holy Spirit, just show me the things that you want to show me. And that's the way that I read the Bible. And of course, I had the trainings back then, and you know, for doing missions and all that, but still limited theology, I guess. But the time that I had in my devotionals with God before going to Bible college, I really enjoyed it. I loved it because I was able to hear from Him. I was able to see the beauty of His whenever I read the word. But the problem was, when I went to Bible college and I was in my first year, and now learning about all these theological ways to read the Bible, okay? So think about the literary context. Think about this specific word, you know, by in Hebrew or in Greek, what does it really mean? Or think about this author's intention or the original message behind this text. What was the cultural context? And all those things, I was getting it. And now, after learning about those things, slowly, my devotional time with God became very dry. Why? Because I would apply those things that I learned in the Bible college and apply those things into the time of my devotions. And what happened to me was I kind of stopped hearing His voice through my devotions. I gained more knowledge. I gained more about this background of this text. I gained more about just the author's intention, the original meaning and all that. But I wasn't really able to communicate with God through it. It's very interesting, right? I mean, I never saw it coming. So I was struggling with it because to me, every day, you know, spending time every day with God and reading the Bible and my devos and listening to His voice and enjoying His presence was my deepest joy. And I felt like I was losing that. So I went to one of my professors to get a counsel from him. And the professor was telling me that what I was experiencing was very common, first of all. So to all the first year Bible college students or seminary students. because now I gain all those knowledge or those theological ways to interpret the Bible. So the professor was telling me how I don't need to be bound by those rules, but I need to learn how to balance between those two. So I need to learn a way to interpret the Bible but at the same time use the Bible as a way of communicating with him. So I would have those healthy and safe theological boundaries in my theology, in my understanding of God's word, but within those boundaries I can freely enjoy his presence. It's like a swimming pool with the signs, you know, like don't go over this limit. But I can just enjoy his presence, his beauty. I can just enjoy just knowing who he is within those really good and healthy, safe and boundaries. So through that counsel, that really helped me to change my view on the word. And I was slowly learning how to communicate with God freely, and especially spiritually, by relying on the Holy Spirit, not just relying on my theology, but relying on the Holy Spirit and able to read the Bible spiritually so that I can really communicate with him and encounter with him and listen to his voice again. And that started happening again in my life. So, lesson we can get from this story is that it is so easy to make our Christian practice in a legalistic way. We can say that, oh, read the Bible more. But what we should really say is read with the Holy Spirit. It is not the amount of the Bible reading that matters, but our experience in the interaction and guidance of the Holy Spirit in our reading matters ultimately. So we should ask, not what did you simply read or learn about God in your reading, but the ultimate question that we need to ask ourselves all the time whenever we read the Bible is, what did you hear from God? What did you hear from him? That's the most important question to ask whenever we read the Bible. Otherwise, we're just going to be Christians with a big head, unable to and do not know how to communicate with God. Do not really have this daily relationship with him. Do not really experience this lively word of God through the Holy Spirit speaking to my life, my context. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit when we read the Bible. And also, you know, not just pray more, but pray with the Holy Spirit. Not just serve more, but serve with the Holy Spirit. Not just be a better person, but be a person who relies on God. Not just go bear more fruits, go be a better Christian, but seek God's face and dwell in his presence. Why? Because that's going to result in bearing more fruits. In church, we do not want to produce legalistic Pharisees, but we want to produce spirit-filled Christians. And we really need to think about this in our church, in our practices. Are we doing it with the Holy Spirit? Are we walking with the Holy Spirit? Are we reading with the Holy Spirit? Are we relying on the Holy Spirit? I mean, when was the last time that you actually cried out to God that, help me, God? How much are you reliant on God? Because if you're not, you might be forgetting God, ironically, even in your serving, even in your worshiping. How many times do we ask the Holy Spirit to help us? How many times we cry out to God wholeheartedly, help me? The way that we will not forget God is firstly by admitting that we are forgetful people who are in need of the Spirit's reminder every single moment. All that we know, all that we understand, all that we do, they're from the Holy Spirit. Admitting that, and do not boast in ourselves. Keep ourselves humble before God, and we will experience the presence of this helper, namely the Holy Spirit. Here's my second point. We forget God when we focus on our circumstances. After Jesus gave the promise of the Holy Spirit to the disciples, here's what he said next. He said, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." What did Jesus mean by the peace that the world gives? I mean, how is the peace of the world different from the peace of God? Well, we can get some help from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Here we can see the peace of God surpasses all understandings, all circumstances, all situations. It transcends above all things. No matter what's happening, the peace of God can rule in our hearts. We can still taste the heaven even under the severe persecutions. That's the peace of God. And the peace of the world does not provide that to us. When we talk about world peace, you know, it's often described as the world without any problems, right? World without any wars, without any hatred or discrimination, or the world without any discomfort. A peace of the world is dependent upon what? The absence of the problem. But the peace of God is dependent upon the presence of Jesus. The peace of the world is dependent upon the absence of the storm, but the peace of God is dependent upon the Lord of the storm. It is not the absence of problems in our lives that will give us peace, but the presence of Jesus does. The presence of Jesus we can have through the Holy Spirit gives us the ultimate peace. In our lives, we are easily distracted by circumstances we face, and when that happens, we are automatically forgetting about who God is for us, because we're distracted and focusing on those circumstances. One of the signs, therefore, that I have forgotten God is that when I look at my heart, is my heart troubled? I mean, do I have this troubled heart or fearful heart? That's a sign that I have forgotten God. The reason why I've lost peace in my heart is not really because of the circumstance I face itself, but because of the distraction that I got, that I forgot about Him. And that's when there's no peace in my heart, but only troubled heart. And how's your heart today? Is your heart troubled? Or is the peace of God ruling in your heart? Do you have the peace of God that transcends all the situations in your life? The peace of God that comes by the presence of the Holy Spirit, by knowing that the sovereign God of the universe is in you, in your heart, in you, leading you, keeping you, loving you, and guiding you. And that's how we can know whether we have forgotten God or not, whether we have His peace or not. I've been hearing from people and from social media saying that the year of 2020 is the worst year like they ever lived. You know, I hear it from especially from a lot of young people, and saying that, oh, 2020 is the worst year. And I also hear it from the older generation too. No, they don't like this year, of course. No, there's a lot of things that have happened, such as pandemic. I mean, that really hit us hard. Still hitting us. COVID-19. The death of popular celebrities like Kobe Bryant or the Black Panther. actor. The Lebanon explosion, the California fire, and now affecting the air quality. For the past week, we had to go through that. And it hasn't ended yet, maybe. And we still have like 3 months, you know, till the end of 2020. But we need to ask a question even in the midst of this kind of chaos. 2020 indeed might be the worst year in our lives. But we need to ask, but did that change anything about who God is for us? Did that affect the faithfulness of God? Did that change His promise for us? Did that destroy the effect of the gospel for us? That He's for us, not against us? Did any of those circumstances that we are still facing today change anything about who God is and what He promised to us? Did that change anything about what He did on the cross 2,000 years ago and change the entire human history forever? Our circumstances, you know, did they change anything about the fact and the truth that He's for us, not against us? That in fact, He loves us to the death. Did they change anything about that? The answer is no. The answer is no. So this is what we need to do. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just like how Jesus, who's the founder and perfecter of our faith, just like how He was enduring the cross by looking at the joy that was set before Him. We're following His footsteps. And no matter what's happening in our lives, our focus, our eyes are set on Jesus Himself. Our eyes are set on the cross and on His throne. At the right hand of God, He is still interceding for us. So don't forget who He is for us, no matter what happens. Receive His peace today. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding is what we need to have in these times. You might ask, how can I get it? Ask for it. Ask for it with all your heart. Ask for it as if there's no other option. This is my last point. We forget God when we love ourselves more than we love Him. This is what Jesus said after He talked about the peace. He said, "You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I'll come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." As we've seen, now Jesus is about to leave the disciples, but Jesus was telling the disciples that His leave is actually the reason for them to rejoice. Well, it is because by His leave, going to the cross, raised back to life, went up to the heaven, the Holy Spirit can finally come to the disciples, meaning now the disciples can get more of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Now that Jesus is not only walking with them, but now Jesus can be in them. And this is what He talked about in the next chapter, you know, about abiding in God, about, you know, how this relationship between vine and the branches, how You know, there's this intimate, in a more intimate way, in a more powerful way, Jesus can be in them through the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly the reason why Jesus said, if you loved me, if what you wanted in your life ultimately was me, you would have rejoiced. So now the disciples can get more of Jesus, more than what they have, more deeply, more intimately, more powerfully. They can experience Jesus and commune with Jesus. They would rejoice, as Jesus said, if what they loved more than anything was Jesus. So the very reason why the disciples are troubled in their hearts is because they care more about what's going to happen to them. They care more about what they can get, what they care more about their lives and themselves and the work of God that will bring them more of Jesus. This self-centeredness always leads us to forget God in our lives. Israelites in the Old Testament show us a similar way. They constantly forgot about God's goodness and faithfulness, as we know, in the wilderness, right? And this is what the Lord said to them in the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 to 6, he said, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you, his 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your food did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God discipline you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him." Here's what God is saying to the Israelites. Said, remember all those times I led you in those 40 years in the wilderness, how I fed you, how I led you, how I loved you, how I showed myself, how I protected you through the pillars of the fire and pillars of the cloud. Remember, don't forget. What God is doing here is, think about all those times that I show my goodness to you. Think about our memories. The memories of how you've been walking with me, experiencing my love. The intimate memories of how I have been your God and you've been my child. Remember. Because if you do, remember all those times, those memories and my faithfulness, God says, your love for me will transcend above your love for yourself. You will fall in love with me if you really know me and remember me. During my vacation, I fell in love with beautiful lakes and mountains at Banff. I loved every single one of them. I don't know, this time was different, because last time I went to Banff, it was like when I was like in high school, so I didn't feel anything out of it. I just, you know, at that time I went to Banff with my family, and I was just looking at the countless mountains. I didn't feel anything. I was like mountain is a mountain, a lake is a lake. Right? But this time it was completely different, you know, the way that I felt, the way that I you know, all those natures, I just found God's beauty in them. And for about a week I was there, and even in the place where we were staying, those towns at the Banff and also in the Canmore, which is a city right beside it. We were staying in Canmore. And those cities were just surrounded by the mountains. For about a week, I was just living by surrounded by God's beauty, surrounded by the great mountains. And God made me realize through that trip, through this time of my vacation, that He made me realize again that just like I was surrounded by the mountains in my life, I have been surrounded by His presence. And many times I was not aware of it. I thought I knew, I even thought about it, but I didn't know. I thought I remembered, but no, I didn't. And it was a merciful and loving work of God, and it was a realization from the Holy Spirit that refreshed my soul, restored me again. And I believe, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe we need this kind of experience in our lives. This realization, this awareness of His presence in our lives. This act of remembering Him in our lives. This is what one writer said. He said, "We are already in the presence of God, was absent this awareness." Jesus said, "And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe." What He wants us to do ultimately by giving His promises, that we will believe, that we will be finally aware of Him in our lives. It is His heart for us, His loving care for us. Jesus wants us to realize that when those remembering, Jesus wants us to remember that. Jesus wants us to know that whenever we forget God, and at some point we remember Him, He wants us to know that that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I forget about His faithfulness, and at some point, all of a sudden, maybe through some events or times, through people, maybe I just remember His goodness and faithfulness again in my life. Jesus wants me to know that that's from Him, that I may believe that it is Him and it is the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? It means that when we forget God, God will remember us. When we forget God, God will remember us. This is the ultimate promise of the gospel. When we forget God, the Holy Spirit in us will remind us, bringing God's promises and hearts to our remembrance again, that we will finish this race until the end because of this grace of reminder, reminding again and again of His beauty, His faithfulness to our lives. And this is the ultimate promise of the gospel. That God said, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? While we're in a place of forgetting His faithfulness, Christ loved us and came to us and made us remember who He is for us. I'm praying that through this message, the same work of God will happen to you. That the Holy Spirit will come to you, your hearts, your life, remind you again who God is for you. For us, this promise is alive in us. We are surrounded by His presence. The God of the universe is in us through the Holy Spirit. When we forget God, He remembers us. And He reminds us of the most precious memory that we cannot change, namely, the memory of who God is for us. Let's pray. Father, if there's one memory in losing everything else, if there's one memory that we can keep, we can only keep in all of our lives, it will be the memory of my time with you, God. How you've been leading us, how you've been feeding us, providing to us, taking care of us, how you have been comforting us, how you have been protecting us at the valley of the shadow of death, how you've been faithful to us. Lord, that's the one memory that we cannot change with anything. So Lord, let that memory keep ringing in our ears, keep ringing in our hearts every single day. And help us to also make new memories with you, God. The memories that will stay eternally. That memory that we'll still have even in your kingdom. Oh God, help us to realize that this is the most important thing in our lives. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us remember. Remember who God is for us. Help us not to rely on ourselves. Help us not to focus on the circumstances or loving ourselves more than we love God. Help us to live a life, Spirit-filled life, oh God, enjoying your intimate presence in our lives, bearing your fruits, in seeking your face and reliance on you, God. Father, have mercy on us. In these difficult times, what we need is your peace, the peace of God that transcends all understanding, oh God. We need that. And Lord, today we confess that we already have that through the Holy Spirit. So help us to claim it. Help us to receive it. We glorify you, Jesus. You're the head of the church. You're the center of our lives. Be glorified in this church, oh God, because this is your church. This is your people that you've been leading in their whole lives, in their wilderness. So Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in our lives and in this church. Father God, we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.